So this, as the tradition would speak of, is a calm abiding in the fullness of the posture. Giving ourselves the opportunity to rest in this stillness. So that this is a sublime condition of non-doing, so we are mindful, conscious human beings. And resting in this stillness. And consciousness will naturally, organically become more subtle, go quietly deeper into the being. Having made the primary decision, shall we say, or choice, shall we say, to opt in this time for stillness, for mindfulness, for consciousness, and allowing, enabling the organic life just to experience itself. Go deeper into itself. Experiencing the feeling tones, the sensations, of this physical stillness. Allowing the being to experience the intimacy of consciousness with cellular existence. And the deepening of the subtle experience of it. Attention to the barest event. We are not making any choices at this time, nor any decisions. But just witnessing what unfolds in our stillness, in consciousness, closely connected with the cells and the emerging feeling tones, sensations. It is a quiet inner journey, not knowing where it might lead. Not knowing what it might mean for today or tomorrow or what might bear fruit in days, weeks, months, years ahead. So we exercise a trust that for us as a human being, there is a value, there is the potential for deep benefit in the experience of stillness, consciousness, the elements, the cellular life fusing together in deepening subtle ways. in this period, we have, as it were, put aside all these formations of the self, our story, our name, age, knowledge, habits and patterns, the self wrapped in a variety of past experiences, people and places, all that which, as it were, makes up the self, bears no relevance. Our whole story is secondary. Age, name, gender, what we have done or not done, all is secondary. We are familiar with the world of the constructed, personal, socialized self. Now we have the opportunity of the bareness of existence. To see if this exploration has the potential to significantly influence this personal, so-called personal, socialized self. And being mindful in this event of the general feeling tone, perhaps warmth. Feeling calmness, at ease, feeling what it is to be still. Or perhaps there is no obvious feeling tone present. And staying quietly true to that experience. Knowing that it too will suddenly or gradually change, modify itself. Emerge with a clear feeling tone in the stillness. Perhaps the feeling tone is unpleasant. Discomfort. Some feeling of insecurity. Being separated from one's usual comfort zone. Perhaps not feeling connected with the process. And despite these different feeling tones, there is still the stillness, still consciousness, and still the element of trust. In just being. Just a human being. With nothing to add. Nothing to subtract. And thus allowing what has the potential to unfold, to reveal in this stillness of being. Perhaps in this direct experience, or some future time. not employing thinking about, not employing views and opinions around, and even if arising, being mindful of the bare fact, a thought is just a thought. An opinion is just an opinion. So our practice includes the skillful, rather precise application of a view, such as sitting here in stillness, with consciousness close, embedded in the process. Remaining minute or so. May all beings know a calm abiding. May all beings experience that without the constructions of the personal socialized self. May all beings go deep into the being. All right, just go and get my glass of water. In the garden, there is a small family of flowers, maybe 7 or 8 daffodils. They've been in the garden, emerging in February. Rather beautiful. And some of us tend to think, when the daffodils emerge, warm weather is approaching. These days, one should not be drawing conclusions. So, there haven't been many days in the last month or two where it's gone beyond 10 degrees. Had one or two warm days. Today, I'm looking over my laptop here. There is not a single cloud in the sky, and it's 8 degrees. So it looks like summer, except we're going outside with a coat and a scarf. Strange world. This is late April. All right. So if there are any areas of interest for you, any questions, a variety of themes over these days. We are now on day 4. Do touch upon, and as we have seen previously, one person's concern is often the concern of all of us. Anyone you'd like to touch upon?
I would like to.
Yes, please.
There is a question, Christopher.
Yes.
I made the observation that when thinking comes up during meditation,
I missed the word. What comes up?
Directly impacts the tension in the body, in my body. So this is kind of a good indicator and a kind of a feedback mechanism for me to know, okay, I'm back into thinking and then trying to let thinking fade away. So this is let's say also a helpful measure to give me a push to that I'm underways in the wrong direction, so to speak.
All right. Okay. If I got the there's a little echo, but tell me if I heard you correctly. So in the sitting meditation, there was some tension, and that informed you of some views. Or would you like to say a little bit more? I didn't quite catch the words.
Yeah, it is. It starts with thinking. Yeah.
Yep.
So thinking it is coming up.
Yes.
And then almost immediately a tension in the body occurs. Yeah.
Ah, right. Good.
So
all right.
This is, seems to be connected somehow. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Good point. Yep. So, right, of course, there. So, the dynamics may vary. So, it's quite possible and regular. The thinking starts. There is some pressure or intensity with the thinking. And then that intensity or pressure is then felt physically, and thought, views, opinions, and the body, all part of the same event, close together, and then you feel the tension in the body. And that, as you pointed out, is a clear sign of the relationship of the two, and a reminder or an encouragement to really take notice with the thinking And sometimes there may be a certain kind of hardness with the thinking, whatever. And the change, therefore, would be to ask, this is the feeling tone here, what is a softer way to, of those things which are important to me, what is a softer way of thinking about them? And that softness in the way of the thinking will reduce the pressure on the body. And when the body is under pressure, less pressure, that provides more of a softness to the body because of the close relationship. Yeah, can you hear okay?
Yeah.
Alright.
Thank you.
Alright. Any further responses?
Hi, Christopher.
Hi, yes.
Hi. So I tried standing meditation today. So I was feeling a bit sleepy, so I thought, let me try standing meditation.
Okay.
That was the first time I tried. I never did meditate standing. So I couldn't stand for more than like 3-4 minutes, and then I had to sit. So is there a posture, is there a way to do standing meditation which will help you like stand for longer period as well?
Yes,
as concentrate,
yes.
And kind of finish for longer duration?
It's the key buzzword in all of this is practice. So we probably remember when we made the transition from someone could do the mute a little bit there. So we made the transition as kids from the three-wheeler to the two-wheeler. And then with the two-wheeler, after few seconds or whatever, we would start falling off. It was too difficult. It's the same principle with the standing. So it may just be 2 or 3 minutes initially, and then you come back to it. So you might just walk, sit again, try again, maybe extend a bit further, 3 or 4 minutes, and with a little bit more practice, 5 or 10 minutes. And there is the same recognition and appreciation as with the sitting practice. In other words, the period of time through calm and relaxation begins to extend itself, and the 2 or 3 areas of the body which are a little vulnerable with the sitting is the knees, of course, the lower back and the ankles. It's usually where the pressure points are for most people. So no need to force oneself. Say, okay, I'm just beginning, it's first time, 2 or 3 minutes, see it, let it increase itself. All right? There's just a note on the screen here. Oh, yeah. So Debbie is asked to turn off her sound, auto mute. the world is silent. Most of us are with the auto mute. It's a good feature on Zoom. You can auto mute me anytime. All right, carry on. So anyone else, any responses in any way? Okay, this message comes up. It is off. Sweet, precious. Okay, thank you. Yes, any areas to touch upon? So there's a message in the chat column, so I'll just go over to the side here. Yes. So the response is that there's these experiences, like the unpleasant ones, sometimes the painful ones, and the encouragement is, and it's a really, really helpful one, is the naming. This is unpleasant. To be quite clear about it. And with the teachings, just going back to the classical teachings of the Buddha, he makes reference in the areas of dependent arising, of consciousness and name and form. Now, that's vijnana is a condition, it's a little technical, be patient, is a condition for name and form. So the Pali word name is nama, and form is rupa. So what that means is we are conscious, in this case we are conscious, there's consciousness, that means being conscious of something unpleasant. Let's name this. Let's state this is the experience. And that willingness to name factually, and as mentioned there, it can be named without the language of I and my, which is rather important and precious. This experience, this is unpleasant. So one has named this experience which is going on in the form. It could be the form of the state of mind. It could be, as we just listened to the good speaker previously, the form of the body, in this case the standing posture, or a part of the body. So there's a real encouragement, there is consciousness, apply the naming of what it is, and in connection with what the form is, the form of the mind, the form of the thought, the feelings, the state of the body, or what we see, hear, smell, taste, and so forth. So firm, precise description is part of our practice and is a valid use of thought in a descriptive mode. And if we can remember to state without the I and my in the language, also beneficial. Thank you. Yes, anyone? There's a small note on the screen. The microphone sometimes touches an item of clothing, things like that, for a person. And then one gets the amplification of it.
I would just like to say something.
Yes, please do.
I noticed in the meditation now that there was a clinging to the thought process coming up, and then I created a distance, a space between the thought and the one who's observing it, but then within this space there is arising some kind of impatience or judgment or something very limited. So I would like you to kind of talk a little bit about that. And I meditate a lot, and then even more there is this judgmental part coming up, and then of course I stick even more to it. So it's like not a good process.
No. Just coming back to the previous point that Brian put on the screen there, this is. So the important first step you've already made, that in the thought world, and it is a world really, there is the consciousness, there's the recognition that there is clinging and holding going on. This adds some, as you experience, some pressure to it. And that indicates the experience of that is exaggerating the thought. For clinging to take place, there has to be some inflaming of the situation. That's what is putting wood on the fire. So it exaggerates it. And the thought may be valid, but it gets distorted or perverted, or that your deeper understanding knows there's something problematic about the relationship to the thought. That's the clarity seeing. It is one thing to have the clarity, oh, there's clinging to the thought, there's tightness around the thought, there's a pressure around the thought and the views that go with it. But what would contribute to, using the metaphor now, not putting the wood on the fire? What's your answer?
Yeah, probably what Brian was saying, just to name it.
All right, but sometimes, I agree, but as we all know, we can name it till the...
It always works.
Exactly. We can name it till the cows come home, and it's still clinging.
Even more than.
And even more than, yeah. This is. Exactly, all right. So the naming makes the fact clear. The naming can be done with calmness and non-clinging. The naming can be spoken without the desire and pressure to get rid of it. So the naming is taking place. It's stated factually, calmly and clearly. That's a good first step. What else? It's a difficult question, but give me...
Yeah, but perhaps also just accepting it.
Oh, I love this word, acceptance. It's like a pain in the neck. I love it. Forgive me, but people use it as like the answer to all their prayers. To accept it. You know, I hear it, you know, every day. All right. Some things in this kind of teaching... It's a slight sidestep, but it's an important one. Acceptance is primarily used for that which cannot be changed. still around, Karina? Oh, she's back. All right. So acceptance is for that which cannot be changed, mostly. You know, in a relationship, it's finished, the person is gone. Someone you loved in your life has passed. Job, finished. You drop the cup, it broke, it's gone. That's where acceptance primarily comes in. But the general clear sense from you, I don't accept clinging to the view. I don't accept grasping onto thought and holding onto it. It's a non-acceptance. And I think it's authentic to be clear about it. So you name it, not just trying to accept it, it's a bit too passive really. What other alternatives are open to you? What is a calm, clear relationship with the thinking process that it doesn't generate pressure and become a headache for us?
Kind of turning the attention back to the observer,
in a way.
I mean, consciously moving into the place of the observer.
All right.
And with that, creating this kind of space. And
then
it could be kind of perhaps slowly dissolving.
Yes. All right. Slowly. All right. Very good. So I'm not looking for a specific answer. You know, it's your response which is important, and many ways to attend to thought. So one way for that to happen, and it's not a stress because we're not contracting, will require some degree of relative calmness. So it's not a pulling away from, because like with a rubber band, if you pull it away, it's going to bow. So the appreciation of some space is helpful, a relaxed view, so that consciousness, the observer, the one who witnesses, is witnessing this is the condition of thought, and there is no interest to feed it, which means to create more pressure out of it. And that also, as you point out, really can lead to a softening of the thought. There may be a really important principle in it. There may be something very insightful in it. It's not that one is trying to throw away the view or let go of the view. Sometimes there's something deep in there, but it's got wrapped up with ego and projections and reactivity and all of that. So it's a practice. And therefore, as a practice, the earlier you catch some tightness around the thinking, that's feeding into it, that is the wood on the fire, the tightness around it. Let me just be the witness, the observer. Let me just see if I can just relax and just see, okay, as we heard, this is just thinking, this is just a view there, and with that, just see where that leads. And if there is something essential and important in it, and there might be, you don't want to lose sight of that. And we know with some views, both the content of the view, what all the thinking is about, and all the feeding into it, the whole lot's got to go. The description, the view, the interpretation, the clinging, the holding. Sometimes we can have views and opinions, and the whole lot of it is completely out of touch. And sometimes there's something in there really deep and profound. And we need the clarity to know the difference. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, anyone, please. So 2 minute, it's a 1 minute, anyone. 1 minute for you and 1 minute for me.
Well, very quickly, but I'm sure this is the same answer as the last one.
Right.
My breathing, sometimes I notice the breathing gets caught in a kind of incredibly shallow and sort of anxious type of breathing. I don't quite... And I find it really difficult to get... It's sort of... It catches me and I can't seem to be with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And just watch it or... it sounds kind of... I kind of know what to do, I think, but it's just it sometimes just stays a long time.
Yes, the mixing together certainly can happen. So, I mean by that is breathing can be taking place, and it's mixed in with anxiety and worry. And thoughts, pressure, etc. It takes a little bit of patience. I would say don't give up on it. And what I mean by that, to quietly keep the breathing going, experience the breathing as much as you possibly can, and it really doesn't matter about the condition of the breath. So this means it might be very shallow. You know, it might just seem to go down to the throat or just to the top of the lungs, and that's as far and as deep it goes. That's fine. You're alive, you're breathing, the body is taking in the amount of air that it needs at the moment, but you're staying with the breath. Perhaps the eyes are open. You're clear and you know that, as you point out, some anxiety might be coming in. And still, primary object, primary interest is with the breath.
Okay. Yeah.
That's all.
Excellent.
Everything is to be clear with the breathing. So just finally, to go back to the Buddha, he's a good voice of authority on all of this. In the discourse on mindfulness, in the very first piece of it, he says, be mindful of breathing in and out, and he says, and then be mindful of the length of the breath. So there's no preference for a long, deep breath. See, one is mindful of breathing in long, breathing out long, being with the breath as we inhale and exhale. So we are quite comfortable with the shallow breath. We are quite comfortable with the medium breath or with the deep breath. We're just here to experience the breathing process. And it may be, with the practice, you begin to experience breath and there's no patterns of anxiety getting mixed in with it. All practice. All right. So let's have, thank you. Let's have the quiet minute together. So the time for many of you will be 4 o'clock in the afternoon, plus 2 minutes. And I'll be back punctually, or be well, in an hour's time. Then there would be the afternoon talk, some exploration of freedom of being, and it'll flow on with regard to the guided meditation, some points about that. Okay, see you in a while. Bye for now. Mm-hmm.